As we read Bible prophecy and the headlines, one can't help but conclude we are nearing the end of the age. But don't allow that to send you into a state of panic, but rather encourage you into a state of prayer. Today on A Daily Walk, we'll finish up our study of 1 Corinthians with an emphasis on the soon return of Jesus and how it should affect the way we live. Here's Pastor John Randall in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Be watchful. Jesus wrote to the church in Revelation, and he said in chapter 3, I know your works. I know that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. And then what did he say? Be watchful. Same thing. Be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. I haven't found your works perfect before God. He says, hey, you need to watch out for these things. You're dying here. I want to revive you. Be watchful. But we also need to be proactive in watching for, you ready for this? The Lord's return. The Lord's return. How many of you believe? I mean, genuinely, truly believe that Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Amen. I suppose the follow-up question to that would be, how does that affect the way that you live? It should. There is this watching and waiting, anticipating the return of Christ, that is probably one of the greatest motivations for living for Jesus. I know what he's done for me, but I also know that he's coming for me in a moment when I least expect it. In the blink of an eye, the trumpet's going to sound. And so in light of that, I'm watching, I'm watchful. But now Paul says, stand fast in the faith. It means to be immovable, stand fast. You've gained ground. This was the area in which the Corinthians were constantly being swayed. Every wind of doctrine, they weren't standing fast in the faith, once delivered to the church. They weren't standing in it. They were wavering. And he says the reason why that they needed to stand fast is because what had happened is they were embracing, again, all of these things, all of these ideologies. Today I had an opportunity to pray with a young man who's getting ready to head off to college to Utah. And so his father asked, can you pray for my son? He's getting ready to go to college. And boy, I'll tell you, one prayer that I was praying is, Lord, please help this young man to stand fast in his faith. Because listen, you show up at that godless university, you can either be a light or you can become a part of the darkness. You're going to have people that claim to be extremely intelligent, the most intelligent people you've ever met, that say there isn't a God. There isn't the God of the Bible. And you can just know right away, they're fools. Because the Bible says the fool has said it in his heart, there is no God. That's God's assessment. So Lord, keep them from being swayed, from being turned from the faith. Stand fast. We need to be praying for that. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Don't let them go. Don't let this world snatch it out of your hand. Hold fast to the word of God. Don't let all the lies and all these things and trying to blur the lines, etc. Hold fast. Stay the course. Philippians 1:27, Paul said, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In Colossians 4:12, he said, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you would stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. That's what we need to be doing. Standing fast, not giving way. Standing fast. And then he says this, in addition to watching and standing, do you notice he said, be brave. All right? Be strong, or another word is courageous. And this again is a great need in the church today. To be brave, to be courageous, to not back down, to not worry about whether they're going to cancel you or not. Cancel me. You can't take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, so I'm good. That's what should concern me. Not whether you hate or malign or block me or whatever you want to do. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and Jesus is coming for me, so I will be courageous. I want to be strong. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, listen to this. If you find yourself being prone to fear, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? There's a lot of people that can be against you, but God's for you. So you might be the minority. You might feel like you're all alone, but if God is on your side, or I should say you're on God's side, you're good. You don't have to fear. Romans 8:37 says, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I think of how many times the Lord had to remind Joshua. You remember it? If you've read it, be strong and of good courage. Again, the Lord would say, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't be afraid of what they might do, what they might say. Be who God's called you to be. Now, that fires us up. Be strong. Yeah, courageous. Ah. But I want you to see, there's something really important. You don't want to miss this part. Verse 14. By the way, let all that you do be done with love. Oh, there's the balance. There's the other side of it. Because you got some people, even in the church today, they're so strong, so courageous. Cancel me, come on. Cancel me, do it. Watch what happens. But they're not loving. And there is a balance. I find that there's either some people that are just this extreme, rude, courage looks like, it looks carnal. And then you have this other side that's just, we're just loving, we don't really care, just do whatever you want. Jesus loves everybody. You have this other side of it, right? You seen that? We don't care, God is love. And truth is, well, it's whatever you want it to be. Both are wrong. These are not, there's a balance. The balance is be strong and be courageous, but also be loving. Some people say telling people the truth, that's not loving. That's the most loving thing that I could do is tell you the truth in love. So be bold, be courageous. Don't be rude and indifferent. You're both. There's a balance. Let everything you do be done with love. Oh, Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He said to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he said, the second commandment is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. He said, on these hang all the law and the prophets. This is love. This is what we should be known for. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, the world will know that you're my disciples by how brave and courageous you are. He said, they're going to know that you're my disciples by your love. That's what we should be known for. And people can misjudge that. They can malign that, but we don't have to fear. During all of the problems in the Corinthian church, there were those who were serving the Lord faithfully. And Paul makes mention of them here. There were some great people in the congregation who were actually a part of this church. And there's always a remnant. And we find here in verse 15, I urge you, brethren, you know of the household of Stephanos, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. The household of Stephanos. Apparently, they were the first converts there in Corinth. That's why Paul calls them the first fruits. They were the first ones to get saved, and there were others that followed the first fruits. He said, you know about that household, the entire house devoted, listen to what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the ministry of the church, to the believers. They were a blessing in this area. The whole family had gotten saved, and they were all committed to serving Jesus and ministering to the church. You know, folks, within the household of Stephanos, I think there's a great model for us in our homes, in our families, because our kids are going to follow our example. And as parents, if you're a young parent, you got little ones in your house, this is the time to start now. You want to lead by example. You want to help them to understand that following Jesus is a priority, that fellowship is a priority. And if so often their relationship with the Lord can be a reflection of what our relationship with the Lord is, and we're being the example to them. You know, I praise God that I had godly parents that made it a non-negotiable issue that we would be in church on Wednesdays and Sundays And that's the way that it was. Oh, that's so legalistic. That's so old-fashioned. Actually, it's not legalism, it's wisdom. And I praise God that they set the standard. I'm not saying I was always excited about it or like I was all into it, but I went. And just for the record, it worked. It worked. And then we think, well, I don't want to turn them off. How are they going to get turned on? Nowadays, you have kids telling their parents what they're going to do and when they're going to do it. I'll let you know. I'll text you when I'm ready. First of all, I'm going to take your phone. And secondly, you're going to get in the car, you know. I love you. Get in now. Quickly. That kind of thing. Oh, you know, the battle is on. The struggle is real. Hang in there. You know, little kids, they go with it. But then you got, well, I have teenagers, Pastor John, and they're not really like, they're teens. Hang in there. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand fast. Be courageous. Be brave. Let all that you do be done with love. Correct them. Bring them. There you have it. I just want to say that. That's an exhortation. It's not easy, man. Oh, man, as a parent, it's like, you know, as mom and dad, you're just like, all right, let's huddle up. Okay, how are we going to tackle this thing? You know, you come up with a plan, strategy. Okay, if we take this, maybe we could do it. You know, you're trying to figure it out. Don't quit. Keep going. You're doing great. Bible says if you train up a child in the way that he should go, then when he's old, he will not depart from it. We need to follow this example. We want our families to be serving the Lord. And sometimes that isn't easy. I mean, there are times, granted, here at church when you have a husband without his wife alongside of him. You have a wife without her husband. You have parents without their kids. And that is, you know, that's difficult when you're in the midst of that situation. And God doesn't condemn you for that. But I want to encourage you, hey, it's not too late to strengthen that bond, to take that lead. You say, well, I've failed at that so many times. That's okay. That's okay. God can still use you. There's still time. In verse 16, it says, I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For look at what these guys did. They refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Paul now mentions a few people, he said, that were in the body that were actually refreshing to him. When he came into their presence, when he was with them, he found them to be refreshing. Do you know people like that? You're in their presence or you're with them and you find, when you're around them, you just feel refreshed. You walk away just like, man, that was a blessing. And what is that? What, are they just nice? Perhaps. But it's the Spirit of God just working through to where you can be refreshing somebody else or being refreshed by being with them. Some people, they drain the life out of you. Don't look around. Don't look. Don't do that. It's not cool. That is not cool. But the truth is we want to be refreshing. Paul said, I'm going to tell you something. There were some things that I was lacking that I really needed and you weren't providing. But I'll tell you something. God brought people into my life that actually were a blessing to me. The body of Christ, we need each other. And then Paul mentions a dynamic couple, a power couple in the kingdom of God, Aquila and Priscilla. What great names. It says in verse 19, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. You can't forget these two people. Do you know they're mentioned 6 times in Paul's writings? He mentions these people more than once. This couple, they were dynamic. Paul met them because they were tent makers like him. They had the same profession. And so Paul and Aquila and Priscilla, they would work making tents. Meanwhile, they would be planting churches. On another occasion, it was this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, they were the ones that actually brought Apollos into their home and instructed him a little more clearly on what it was to present the gospel. Apollos was defending the faith. He was out there saying all these things, and it was great. There was a lot of truth to it, but he had some missing points that were really important. So they brought him inside their home, loved him, encouraged him. And I think God used that couple to strengthen him, and he became the man that he was. They were a husband and wife team serving the Lord together. And in the early church, there wasn't a church building. They met wherever they could. They met in homes. And Aquila and Priscilla, their home, it was a place of ministry. They just opened up their home. Anybody that wants to come in, we're gonna minister to them. They were extremely hospitable, and God used them powerfully. They were invaluable in the work of the ministry. They were there. They were a part of it. This couple, I can think of so many couples through the years. I mean, my mind is just, there's just so many different families and couples through the years that have been such a blessing. And, you know, especially when you go out and you're planting for the first time and you don't know anybody, and there's people that you know, they're right alongside of you, and they're there and they're supporting it, and you know, they're encouraging you. And so many times when you wanted to quit, or you wanted to stop or give up, or thought, you know, maybe I've done as much as I can do, there were those couples that you realized, you know what, we need to stick this out because they're here and we need to keep ministering. I can think of several in my life, just over the span of ministry, certain couples that I just knew, like, if I quit, who's going to shepherd them? Who's going to love them? Who's going to teach them? And God used them in my life to keep me going. And I'm so thankful for that. And because of their ministry, here we are. And there's so many others of you that have come as a result. It's important, I believe, as husbands and wives, to find opportunities, to look for ways, listen, to minister together. I mean, if you have a young family, you're ministering together. You're ministering to your kids. But you're also looking for ways to serve together. And there's something beautiful about a marriage where you have two people that serve the Lord. Because you have a husband that's drawing near to the Lord, and you have a wife that's drawing near to the Lord. And as you both serve the Lord, it just forges this bond. Do you serve the Lord together? Have you prayed about it? Honey, we should pray about where we should serve. No, he's talking to other couples. No, actually, I think he's talking to us. He is. I am. Ask the Lord how he might use you together as husband and wife to serve him. Finally, as we conclude here, Paul says in verse 20, all of the brethren greet you. And then he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Paul says, hey, listen, I want to tell you something. All the brethren are greeting you guys in Corinth. We're part of one another. They're brethren. They're brothers and sisters. Paul has mentioned names. They were part of the body. Important. It was teamwork. They needed to be together. They needed each other. Different people brought different gifts, and they were all ministering the same purpose. And Paul says, hey, all the brethren greet you. Other churches, they're part of this, guys. I know you know this, but this isn't the only church there is. There's a lot of churches. And those that believe in the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, listen, we are one. We are one. We are one body. How big is your church? Recently, people have asked me, how many people go to your church? How many people go to your church? I've never counted. I'm going to count today. I'm not going to count. I never count. I don't do that. I've never done it. But when people ask, I just jokingly but sincerely say, we have the largest church in the world. It's huge. What? No, I'm serious, because it's not just here. It's not just here. Our family is massive. It encompasses the globe, and some of our family members are in heaven. We're part of a big group. All the brethren. Listen, the more loving you are, the less denominational you are. We're one body. Jesus prayed to his Father in John 17, Father, let them be one as we are. And then he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. Apparently, in those days, in that culture, this is how they would greet each other. Today we do handshake, hug, whatever. But there are still cultures where they do the holy kiss. I went to a culture, I was speaking in a different country, and I was unprepared for the holy kiss. It was just, oh, that was nice. I didn't, you know, they didn't do that. They just do it. And then I embraced it. It was fine, you know. Do you go on this side or that side? Hey. You know, I don't know. It was weird. That's how they did it. It was holy. Awkward, but holy. And then Paul concludes by saying this. Verse 21, the salutation with my own hand, Paul's. If anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. As Paul brings this letter to its final conclusion, it's almost like there's been 16 chapters where Paul has been dictating to somebody else. All right, write this down. Hold on a second. All right, write this down. And someone is writing it. And finally, after 16 chapters, he's like, give me the pen. This is my own. I'm going to sign this thing. I am writing this. I want you to know. This is Paul. Takes the pen in hand and makes sure that they know that it's him. And he said, if there's anybody that doesn't love Jesus, if they don't love the Lord, then let them be accursed. That's a pretty bold statement to make. But if you die without knowing and loving and knowing Jesus, the truth is you will be accursed. You will be cut off from fellowship with God. But that's not God's desire. God desires you to be saved. God desires you to have salvation. And then Paul says, oh, Lord, come. I feel like that's the cry of my heart in these days. Oh, Lord, come. Lord, come. Come for your bride. Lord, I'm longing for you to return. And then I love how that Paul, when he ends this letter, you'll notice that he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and my love be with you. Grace and love and truth all throughout this letter. This was a very difficult letter to write. I mean, Paul said a lot of difficult things that were hard to receive. But how does he end it? He started with grace and he also ends with grace. Everything he wrote because he loved them. And it wasn't easy to say. It wasn't easy to write. In fact, he tells us in 2 Corinthians, I had the hardest time. I was in turmoil thinking about it, in tears and agony over how you were going to receive this because I was so concerned for you.
You're listening to A Daily Walk and our last study in 1 Corinthians. Pastor John Randall will share some concluding thoughts, so keep it right here. If you joined us late, go online to adailywalk.org and catch what you missed. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way for a cost of $5, just call us at 877-242-0828 or order resources online through our e-store. Again, that's at adailywalk.org. You can also listen through our app, and that can be found in the App Store or Google Play by searching for Calvary South OC. Whether you're a mom or a dad or even a grandparent, you want what's best for your kids or grandkids. However, knowing how to pray for them or what to pray can be a real challenge. That's where Erwin Lutzer's book, A Practical Guide for Praying Parents, can help. In this helpful little book, you'll find daily biblical prayers from Dr. Lutzer to help you on your prayer journey. Request a copy today from A Daily Walk by calling 877-242-0828 or turn to adailywalk.org on the web. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the country, we look to the Lord to provide, and He has. We thank Him for that. And maybe He's asking you to be involved in some measure. Even a donation in the amount of a cup of coffee would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to help us continue our ministry. Either call 877-242-0828 or make a donation online at adailywalk.org. And now with this final challenge, here's Pastor John to close things out.
Folks, as we end this letter, here's what I want us to do. If today, this church, right here, if we were written a letter, an epistle, what would be said of us? Inspired, inerrant, God-breathed letter written to Calvary South OC. What would the Lord say? What would He put His finger on and say, hey, listen, there's a lot of great things here, but that's not right. That needs to change. And I'm saying sincerely, Lord, show me. The psalmist said, Lord, search me, try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, even things that I'm unaware of or I'm ignorant of, show me. Because here's the thing, folks, We don't want to quench the work of the Holy Spirit. God is doing something here. in and through you and through us as a body of believers that goes far beyond these walls. And we want the Lord to continue the work of the Spirit. I do. I don't want anything to quench what God's doing. And so it starts with me. It starts with you saying, God, if there's something in the atmosphere of my heart or unforgiveness or bitterness or critical or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say, say it. I want to make it right.
Tomorrow on A Daily Walk, we'll begin a study of Genesis. Join us for Pastor John Randall's introduction on our next two programs. This is a presentation of Calvary South OC.